Hello, everybody. George here. So today I'm doing something a little different. I actually put it off so I could boo the experience. I've always wanted to do this, and I think I might have only done this once on Audioboo, and that is to bring home a new find and actually record the discovery in some way as it was happening. I'm going to start with some of that now. Brought home something I didn't think I'd find. But Paul and I went on one of our romps again, as we often do. And we went to the various shops, and the last one I came by was a store called Goodwill. It's a thrift store. And there was some interesting stuff there. A lot of times nowadays, the stuff's too new for me to be interested in. It's got these little DVD players and parts for computer speakers and whatnot all that I don't really like. But there was a surround sound receiver sitting here, and it looked pretty big. It was pretty impressive. And I didn't realize, but it was made by Harman Kardon. It just so happened that as I was messing around with it, an older gentleman came by and started reading me some of the particulars about it. And that was good, but what I happened to notice was in the back of it, there are five jumpers. What they are is main in and preamp out. So you can not only use this with its inbuilt amplifiers, but you can also use it as a controller to drive other amplifiers or amplified speakers with. And I'm going, yes. Because the way I have my I've had to integrate video with having to have VHS and DVD and Laserdisc into an old audio system. And so I have a separate little switch box, which is located way over near the video stuff. I thought, man, it'd be neat if I could just cable everything together and find a controller that would work in conjunction with some of my older equipment. And this seemed to fit the bill. It's a big brute. I did like I typically do and read the manual. Bit heavy. In fact, that's the first thing we noticed. 35 pounds, about 17 inches, almost square, 17 and a bit by 17 and a bit. I don't remember the exact measure. Big cage on top, and there's lots and lots and lots of grill work on there. There's grills in the sides, grills on top, and even grills in the bottom of the chassis, which is rare for something this new. We found out it was made in 2001, which is, well, normally newer than I like to. But it seemed really well laid out, and as I want to, I'm going to find out if that's the case while I'm inside it. So perhaps I'll pause this while I get the rest of the cage undone here. I can record the taking off.
Button.
Okay, now just undoing the last screw of 12. There's 12 screws to hold this cage on. There's four on each side. Two across the back on the left, two across running like across the back from left to right, and then the other two on the other side at the back on the right, and then of course the right side has another four screws, so there you go. I was very remiss in not mentioning the model number here. It is the AVR Alpha Victor Romeo 510 by Harman Kardon, as I might have mentioned. Has a fair chunk of the features on it. It is ProLogic. It's also the 5.1 with the two main encodings of DVD technology current in the day. I don't remember them specifically. I'm drawing a blank. Surround sound is not my foremost area of expertise at all. But the top's ready to come off, so I'm going to have a find out what makes this so heavy. An average receiver of this day would weigh between 20-25 pounds. This one is a whopping 35 pounds, and this case is giving me static, as it does want to do. Now, it's fairly chunky itself. The case is, it's flexing, so that's surprising. I thought it was thicker than that. I suspect there's a large transformer in here. I'm probably going to find that out. And I should let you know that I have unplugged everything. Of course, before tackling this. Oh my goodness. There is one massive mother of a heatsink in here. And a bunch of driver boards, but that explains things. See, I could run this for several hours and the whole top of it would get hot. And that's because there's a whole mess of transistors hooked up to that. I can only get at one side of it, and there is a massive transformer in there. Holy Dinah. That transformer, if it was a cube, well, it's not quite a cube. Rectangularly speaking, it's probably six by 5 inches. I'm sorry, I'm not metric. Weight in pounds, measurements on the receiver by inches, there you go. And I lied. There are two mothers of heat sinks in here. They're like double-sided fins, each of these. This is the main plate, if you will, that goes down the middle, where the actual transistors are bolted to, and these things are bolted to various parts of the chassis. There's a big brace running from the top of the front to rear heat sink. Goes to the right side of the chassis. The other one, not sure how that's held in there. Doesn't seem to be as big though. Maybe that's the surround one. Not sure. Can't get at many of the connections on this at all, so. Oh yeah, there's some big transistor outputs here. I can't count them all because I just can't get at them all. It's just really shoehorned inside here. It is way tight. The one thing that I'm not seeing, and I think I should be, is the filter capacitors, which I suspect are probably massive. And owing to that, and it looks pretty clean in here. I think I might be the first guy into this. That's disappointing. Capacitors are these two little tiny things in the rear right corner of it. Unless there's more of them, they stand about an inch and a half high and maybe an inch around. Given the size of the heat sinks and the transformer, I expected something a little better. Maybe it's newer technology and they're small, mighty capacitors. That's Michelle coming home, so I'm going to pause this for a minute. Well, it's a good thing I paused
it. Dice World notification. Dice World, your role with...
Okay, I'm going to do this.
Speech off.
Okay, that's the best way to keep it quiet because I don't have much time left. Found all of the output transistors, at least the major ones. The horizontal heatsink appears to be the main stereo one because it's got four, and then the vertical, or the one running front to back, and it does run all the way from front to back, appears to be the other one, which does all of the surround channels, of which there are three, the rear and the center. Now each, if you have a stereo pair running only, it's 80 watts per channel, but if you're using all the surround channels, each of them can put out 70 watts, so that's pretty chunky. At least they say, I'm not sure I believe it. Looks really clean in there. It appears that everything's plugged in. You might be asking, with amplifier power like that, why would you want to use a separate amplifier? Well, this is rated only 8 to 16 ohms, and the speaker config that I have, and I'm unwilling to part with, drives a 4 ohm woofer, so I just need a little better control. I want to make sure I'm not going to burn anything out. I could probably get away with it, but safer to probably bypass and run a different amp. I might try these out with a different set of speakers, and I might boo on this thing later. Of course, any questions, feel free to send along a DM, and as I say, I may do some boos on the other operations once I get them figured out, once I figure out the surround sound jazz. Anyway,